Good afternoon. Very good to see everybody again. The Secretary General has just finished his exchange of views with EU leaders. He will start with a few remarks and then he'll be happy to take your questions. Secretary General.
Good afternoon. It is a pleasure to be here today, and I would like to thank President Van Rompuy for inviting me to address the European Council. My message today was clear. We all agree that defence matters. We all want to see a strong, committed Europe able to play its part in managing international crises. And we all want to make sure that European nations have the tools they need to make that happen. That means developing real military capabilities, and those capabilities that our nations really need: observation drones, air-to-air refueling, heavy transport. And it means enabling a strong European industrial base. I welcome the increasing focus by European nations on developing these capabilities. And let me stress, it is not NATO or the European Union that possess these assets. These capabilities are owned by individual nations. This is not about creating a European army. It is about making sure that the countries of Europe are strong and capable so that they can contribute to crisis management when they choose and how they choose, whether it be through the European Union, NATO, or any other way. Each country has only one set of forces and one set of taxpayers. Duplication is a luxury we cannot afford. So we need greater cooperation, coordination, and cohesion within Europe, across the Atlantic, and between the European Union and NATO. We must be sure that we continue to complement and reinforce each other. In concrete terms, we must work closely together in developing military capabilities and industrial standards, in coordinating our approaches to maritime security and cybersecurity, and in training, exercises, and defense capacity building for partners that need our support. We must be smarter together and stronger together. And the time to act is now, because unless we Europeans take our security seriously, North Americans will rightly ask why they should. Unless we recommit to our own defense, we risk seeing America disengage and Europe and America drift apart. This is not what any of us would want, and it would benefit neither ourselves nor the rest of the world. So I welcome today's European Council. I welcome the recognition that defence matters, and I strongly hope that it will produce stronger and more capable European countries, because that would benefit us all. And with that, I am ready to take your questions.
We'll go to the Daily Telegraph first, over here.
Bruno Waterfield, Daily Telegraph. When the communiques and texts were first circulated for this discussion today, Britain was very concerned because the word NATO hardly featured at all, and Britain is concerned that some of these defence discussions do not feature NATO as the primary source of Europe's defence. Is that a concern that you share?
Obviously, I'm not going to interfere with European Union deliberations on Council conclusions. What I can say is that NATO is and will remain the bedrock of Euro-Atlantic security. And actually, I don't see any contradiction between a strengthened defence in Europe and a strong NATO. On the contrary, if European nations decide to invest more in critical capabilities like observation drones, air-to-air refueling and heavy transport, it will also make their contribution to NATO stronger. So a strong Europe also means a strong NATO.
Dieter Ebeling with DPA, the German press agency. Secretary General, the British Prime Minister said Europe doesn't need more capabilities. Europe needs more cooperation, but no capabilities. Can we assume that you had a very serious word with Mr. Cameron about his opinion that no further capabilities are needed?
We had an excellent exchange of views after my intervention today. If I understand your question correctly, it's about who owns the capabilities. I'm speaking about European nations. I think European nations need to invest in critical capabilities because during our operations we learned where Europeans need more capacity. And that is within observation drones, air-to-air refueling, heavy transport. And I appreciate that the European Council will also focus on some of these critical capability areas. So I'm not speaking about NATO possessing military capabilities or the European Union possessing military capabilities. I'm speaking about the need for nations to do more to acquire much needed military capabilities.
Lady over there.
Yes.
Bonjour, Léonore Hubaud pour Bruxelles 2. J'aurais voulu.
Good afternoon, from Bruxelles 2. I'd like to ask whether you think that it's necessary to have a European intervention in RCA. Thank you.
In
Central Africa's Republic.
Tout d'abord, je vais exprimer.
Well, first of all, could I express my appreciation of the rapid and determined action which France took in Mali and the Central African Republic. These operations are necessary in order to fight against terrorism, in order to save lives, and in general terms, in order to stabilize our neighborhood. Instability and insecurity in Africa and in the Middle East would have a negative impact on Europe. These regions could become zones for proliferation of terrorism and drug trafficking. And Europe would be under pressure from refugees and illegal immigrants. So it is for those reasons that I welcome the French action. And could I stress that France is not alone? A number of allies have offered their active support. However, Having said that, we need more countries like France who have the capacity and the will to act.
Secretary Gary Gottlieb, you're active. Secretary General, your answer in French convinced me that you answer to all possible requirements to get a top EU job. Your mandate finishes the next year and there will be plenty of top EU jobs for grabs. Are you a candidate for any of them?
But actually, right now, I'm very much focused on the upcoming NATO summit, which will take place at the beginning of September next year. So I have not started reflections on my personal future after September 2014. Now I will devote all my time and efforts to prepare the Wales summit to ensure a successful outcome of that summit.
James.
Yes, Brooke Singer, Jane's Defense. Developing new capabilities does no good if they can't be rapidly deployed due to lack of money. So I was wondering, should the EU and NATO align their thinking about new ways to make more money available for deployment during operations? And if so, what would your advice to the EU be? Thank you.
I think there are three ways to make more efficient use of scarce resources within security and defence. The first is, of course, to provide more funding, to increase investments in defence. I'm realistic. I do know that in the short term it will be difficult because of the economic crisis, but I appreciate that actually I have seen some NATO allies commit themselves to gradually reverse the trend and move gradually towards the 2% of GDP benchmark for defence investment. So I appeal to nations that once the economies recover, they will also provide more funds for defence and security. So that's, of course, the first way. Secondly, I think, in particular in the short term, it is necessary to get more value for money, make more efficient use of resources through more multinational cooperation. We call it smart defence within the European Union. We call it pooling and sharing, but it's two sides of the same coin that individual nations will see it increasingly difficult to acquire the necessary military capabilities. But if we help each other in multinational projects, we can. So I think smart defence is the second way forward to make more efficient use of resources and get more military capabilities. And then finally, the third way is to reallocate resources, to move resources into areas of future-oriented military capabilities. And that's also a reason why I appreciate what I think will be the outcome of the European Council meeting, namely a focus on, for instance, observation drones and air-to-air refueling, because we learned lessons. These are areas where the Europeans need more capacity.
Defence News.
Julian Howe, Defence News. You mentioned one of the areas was enabling a strong European industrial base. What for you was the best of the measures that are being proposed by the EU to improve the European industrial base? And how could NATO work with the EU to help that process? And secondly, on the heavy transport, the observation drones, are you at all concerned? I mean, not all 28 member states are involved in these, and also the timelines are quite a long way off. Are you at all concerned that there'll be big gaps in the meantime?
Speaking about heavy transport, I appreciate that European nations are focusing more and more on providing such heavy air transport. A number of European countries have joined efforts in acquiring, I think, if I remember correctly, it's 170 heavy transport aircraft, and I highly appreciate that. And the first part of your question, just the key word. About the industrial policy. First of all, let me stress that it's for the European Union, not NATO, to deal with industrial policy. I have read with great interest the Commission communication on the defence industrial policies. Again, I'm not going to interfere with EU decisions, but personally, I do believe that one of the ways to develop a more competitive European defence industry is to open up markets and ensure a more well-functioning internal defence market in Europe.
Gentleman over there.
Thank you. Andrew Byrne, Financial Times. One of the guiding rules of CSDP development was that there should be no duplication. But recently we had a number of anti-piracy missions off the Gulf of Somalia. There was an EU NAVFOR mission and there was a NATO mission. Don't you think that such missions, if they're doing essentially the same thing, should be either run as CSDP missions or as NATO missions rather than duplication side by side?
Our counterpart piracy missions are not duplicating each other. Actually, I think they complement each other because NATO can also bring to bear certain capacities that are not at the disposal of the European Union. But I agree that we need close coordination and cooperation, and actually our cooperation as regards counter-piracy works very, very well. And as you also know, the joint international counter-piracy operation has been quite successful. It's long ago we saw the last successful piracy attack. Personally, I think we still need counter-piracy operations as a deterrence.
One last question, lady over there.
Thank you. Tina Friedrich, ARD Radio. Hi, I'm here. My question is not so much about defense policy, but more about strategy concerning Ukraine. Mr. Schulz just said in the press conference that he thinks that within a year, the opinion of Ukraine might change again and lean towards the European Union instead of Russia. Where do you see the strategic way for Ukraine in this case?
First of all, I would like to stress that we fully respect Ukraine's right to decide independently and freely their alliance affiliation and their relations with international organizations. I think that's an inherent principle that each individual nation has a right to freely choose. Having said that, seen from my perspective, there's no doubt that the future of Ukraine lies within close cooperation with our Euro-Atlantic organizations, the European Union and NATO. And speaking about NATO, you will recall that back in 2008, we actually stated at the NATO summit that Ukraine will become a member of NATO, of course, provided that they fulfill the necessary criteria and provided that Ukraine so wishes. Since then, the political leadership in Ukraine has pursued, or after the political leadership changed, they have pursued a so-called non-bloc policy. We fully respect that, but we also appreciate that Ukraine has decided to continue its close practical cooperation with NATO within the NATO-Ukraine Commission. And actually, Ukraine is a very active contributor to all NATO-led military operations as well as the NATO response force. And recently, Ukraine also participated in a huge NATO exercise. So seen from that perspective, we have an ongoing, very active cooperation with Ukraine, and I hope to see that cooperation further flourish in the coming years.
Thank you very much.